Hey everyone, and welcome back. Today we're tackling a topic that's both really exciting and, let's be honest, a little daunting, the financial side of adoption. We're diving deep into maximizing the adoption tax credit, your comprehensive 2024 guide, fresh off the press as of October 5th, 2024.
Oh, very nice.
So you're thinking about growing your family, amazing, but then comes the paperwork, the deadlines, and let's not forget about the potential costs.
Right.
Don't worry, that's where we come in. We're going to unpack this guide together so you can navigate the world of adoption tax credits with confidence.
Exactly. Think of this deep dive as your secret weapon against information overload.
Love it.
Yeah.
So first up, what exactly is the adoption tax credit? It's not about getting a handout, right?
You got it. It's what they call a non-refundable tax credit, which sometimes trips people up. Think of it this way. Imagine you owe, let's say, $1,000 in taxes, but you're eligible for a $2,000 tax credit. You wouldn't actually get a check for that extra $1,000. Mm-hmm. Instead, that credit would wipe out your tax go you'd owe nothing, which is huge when you're looking at the costs associated with adoption.
Okay, that makes the non-refundable thing crystal clear. Now, I know from friends who've adopted that it's not just about adopting any child. There are different types of adoption, and the credit applies to, like, a bunch of them.
Absolutely. This credit is designed to help families who are adopting domestically, internationally, or through foster care. It's about making as many paths to parenthood as possible a little bit easier.
That's really heartening to hear. Speaking of making things easier, who exactly qualifies for this credit?
Well, while it's definitely focused on supporting families who are adopting children under 18, there are a few important nuances. For instance, adopting a spouse's child doesn't fall under this particular tax credit, as that situation often has, you know, different legal and financial considerations.
Interesting. So there are different rules depending on the type of adoption. And speaking of rules, what about adopting a child over 18? Are there ever exceptions to that age limit?
There is one key exception, and that's for adoptions involving children with special needs. The guide really emphasizes that the definition of special needs can be fluid, you know, varying from state to state.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about opening your home to a child with, you know, unique challenges, don't rule yourself out without doing some digging. Talk to adoption professionals in your area. They can help you understand how your state defines special needs and whether the adoption you're considering might qualify.
That's a great reminder. Always best to get those specifics. Now let's get to the part everyone wants to know, the money. What expenses actually fall under this credit?
Oh, the fun part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize how many expenses tied directly to the adoption process can be claimed. This includes things like agency fees, legal fees, and court costs, which we know can add up really quickly. And then there are travel expenses, whether you're going across the country or, you know, across the globe to bring your child home, those are covered too.
So it's really trying to cover those big ticket items that are practically unavoidable during an adoption.
Right. It's important to remember, though, that certain expenses aren't eligible. Surrogacy is a good example. While surrogacy is a wonderful way to build a family, it has a different legal framework and even its own set of tax benefits,
yeah,
which is why it's not included in the adoption tax credit.
That makes sense. It's all about understanding the nuances. So we know what the credit is, who it's for, and some of the expenses it covers. But let's get down to brass tacks. In 2024, what's the maximum amount you can claim?
Drum roll, please. For the 2024 tax year, the maximum credit you can claim is $16,810.
Okay, that's a significant chunk of change that could make a real difference. But before we all start celebrating, I know there's always fine print. The guide mentions something called a MAGI phase-out. What's that all about?
Yes, the MAGI phase-out. Basically, it means that if your modified adjusted gross income, your MBGI, goes above a certain level, the amount of credit you qualify for starts to decrease.
So it's not a hard cutoff, but depending on your income, you might get a partial credit instead of the full amount.
You got it. For 2024, if your MGI is below $252,150, you're good to go for the full credit. But okay, if it's above that, and especially if it goes over $292,150, you'll want to talk to your tax advisor to determine how much of the credit you can actually claim, because it can get a bit complex, and everyone's financial picture is different.
Good to know. It's not just about those adoption expenses, but your overall financial situation. It's all connected, right?
Precisely. And speaking of different financial situations, earlier we mentioned adoptions involving children with special needs and how they might have, you know, slightly different rules.
Yes. What's the deal with the credit for families adopting children with special needs?
Here's where it gets really amazing. The guide explains that in some cases, families adopting children with special needs can claim the full amount of the adoption tax credit. And that's regardless of how much they actually spent on qualified expenses.
Wow. So it's like the government recognizing that these families might have, you know, additional costs down the road, and they want to provide that extra support up front.
Exactly. It's a beautiful thing. But as with most things tax-related, the details matter. A lot of times, parents don't realize their child fits the special needs definition until later in the process. So again, don't count yourself out. Talk to experts, gather information, and see what's possible.
Such important advice. Okay, so we've got a handle on eligibility, expenses, and even those special circumstances. But now comes the million-dollar question, actually claiming the credit. When do you do it, and how does it all work? I'll admit, even for a seasoned deep diver like myself, this part always feels a bit like navigating a maze. What are the key things our listeners need to know?
Yeah, navigating the timing of your claim can be tricky. But don't worry, we're going to break it down. The guide does a great job clarifying some of these more confusing aspects. And believe me, understanding these nuances can make tax season a lot less stressful.
Music to my ears. All right, walk us through it. When can you actually claim the adoption tax credit?
Well, in most cases, you can actually claim the credit in the year you pay the qualifying expenses. That's true even if the adoption itself isn't finalized until a later year. This often surprises people, so it's a good one to remember.
Okay, that makes sense. You might be paying those agency fees or legal bills way before the adoption is official. But I seem to recall the guide mentioning something about international adoptions working a bit differently.
You're absolutely right. When it comes to international adoptions, there's a little catch. You can only claim the credit after the adoption is finalized in the other country. So unlike domestic adoptions, where you can potentially claim some expenses in the year prior to finalization, international adoptions require a bit more patience.
Got it. Different countries, different rules, different timelines. It makes sense that you'd have to wait until that international adoption is official. Now, the guide uses this example of a Mr. Joe to illustrate how claiming the credit works across different tax years. What's the key takeaway from his story?
Mr. Joe's situation highlights a crucial point. Meticulous record keeping is your best friend. Keep track of every expense, every receipt, and every date. Trust me, when tax season rolls around, you'll thank yourself.
Especially if you're like Mr. Joe and your adoption journey spans multiple tax years. Speaking of which, I'm starting to get a little anxious just thinking about all those forms.
Ah, yes. We can't forget about Form 8839, the one specifically for qualified adoption expenses.
Everyone's favorite.
Right. But here's the thing. It sounds scarier than it is. Think of Form 8839 as your roadmap. It's there to guide you through each step, ensuring you're reporting everything correctly to the IRS so you can maximize that credit you're entitled to.
Okay, so instead of dreading it, think of it as your friend. It's there to help you, not hurt you. Now, what about those lucky ducks out there who have employer-sponsored adoption assistance programs? That's like hitting the jackpot, right?
It's a fantastic perk, no doubt. But hold on, we need to unpack that one a bit further. And we'll do just that after a quick break. Stay tuned. We're back and ready to dive into the world of employer-sponsored adoption assistance. It sounds like a dream come true, you know, extra support, financial help. But I'm guessing it's not quite as simple as just saying yes to whatever your company offers. You're right, there are definitely some nuances to navigate. While having an employer who supports adoption is fantastic, you'll want to examine your company's program carefully.
Makes sense. It's like anything else, you need to understand the details before you can decide if it's the right fit for your family. So, what are some things our listeners should look out for when reviewing their employer's program?
First and foremost, check which expenses are covered and what the reimbursement process looks like. Some programs might focus on agency and legal fees, while others extend to travel or even, you know, post-placement expenses.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's not just a standard one-size-fits-all package.
Exactly. Each company structures its program differently, and it's important to know what you're working with. Another really crucial aspect is understanding any limits or caps on the assistance provided.
Right. There's probably a maximum amount they're willing to contribute. And this ties into that double-dipping rule we talked about earlier with the adoption tax credit, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You can't claim the same expenses twice. It's about, you know, strategically maximizing the benefits from both your employer and the tax credit.
Okay, I'm starting to see where a little strategic planning comes in handy. So how should someone approach this? Should they always use their employer's assistance first and then the tax credit for any remaining expenses?
It's tempting to think that way, but it's not always the best approach. Sometimes, depending on your individual circumstances and your employer's program, it might be more advantageous to prioritize certain expenses for the tax credit.
That's where having a tax professional in your corner would be invaluable.
Absolutely. They can help you run the numbers, compare different scenarios, and figure out the most financially savvy approach.
So, bottom line, don't just assume. Talk to the experts, crunch the numbers, and make a plan that works best for your family. Now, before we move on, I have to admit something. We've been throwing around the term non-refundable all episode, and I'm wondering if it's as clear to our listeners as we think it is.
You're right. It's one of those accounting terms that can easily trip people up.
Exactly. It's important to remember that while this credit can significantly reduce your tax bill, it won't result in getting a check back from the IRS if the credit amount is more than the taxes you owe.
That's the simplest way to put it. It's about offsetting what you owe, not about padding your bank account.
Exactly. Which is still amazing, especially when you think about all the other costs associated with growing your family.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic resource, and we want to make sure everyone listening understands how to utilize it fully.
Speaking of utilizing resources, we focused a lot on the financial aspects of adoption today, but I think it's important to acknowledge that it's just one piece of the puzzle.
You're absolutely right. Adoption is an incredibly personal and emotional journey, and we wouldn't be doing it justice if we didn't touch on that as well.
Exactly. So beyond the dollars and cents, what are some other resources that folks should be tapping into as they embark on this journey?
Well, first and foremost, connecting with reputable adoption agencies and attorneys is essential. They are the experts in navigating the legal complexities, ensuring everything is done by the book, and advocating for you every step of the way.
They've seen it all, right? And they can provide that reassuring guidance, especially when things get overwhelming.
Precisely. And speaking of support, don't underestimate the power of connecting with other adoptive families.
It takes a village, as they say. What are some ways people can tap into that community?
Support groups, both online and in person, are fantastic resources. You'll meet people who understand what you're going through, who can offer advice, and who can celebrate the joys and challenges of adoption right alongside you.
That sense of community can make all the difference. Knowing you're not alone in this journey can be incredibly empowering.
Absolutely. And while it might not seem directly related to the financial side of things, having that emotional support system can actually make a big difference in how you approach your finances.
That makes a lot of sense. When you feel supported and less stressed, you're more likely to make clear-headed decisions, especially when it comes to something as important as finances.
You got it. And speaking of making clear-headed decisions, let's circle back to the adoption tax credit and dive into some specific scenarios where timing is key. Are you ready to explore that aspect a bit further?
You bet. After all, timing is everything, right?
You could say that again,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to navigating the ins and outs of this credit.
All right, so we were about to unravel the mysteries of timing when it comes to the adoption tax credit. It feels like every little detail matters here.
It really does. You know, we often hear from people who are surprised to learn they could have claimed the credit sooner, or that certain expenses from like past years are still on the table.
It's like finding hidden treasure in your old tax returns. So let's break this down. What are some scenarios where timing is absolutely crucial for maximizing this credit?
One that immediately comes to mind is when the adoption process stretches over multiple tax years, which is more common than you might think. It's not always a quick and easy road, and those expenses can pop up at different times.
Right, like our friend Mr. Joe from the guide. If I remember correctly, his journey took several years and it impacted how he was able to claim the credit.
Exactly. In cases like his, understanding the rules around claiming expenses in the year they were paid, even if the adoption is finalized later, is essential. It's about being strategic and knowing when to claim what.
And I imagine international adoptions have their own set of timing complexities.
You're right on the money. Since you can only claim the credit after the international adoption is finalized, things can get a little tricky, especially if you've incurred expenses in the years leading up to that finalization. That's where working with a tax professional who understands the nuances of international adoption can be a lifesaver.
So true. They can help you navigate those timelines and make sure you're maximizing every penny of that credit. It's like having a financial strategist in your corner, guiding you through every step.
That's a great way to put it. They can help you strategize and ensure you're making the most of every tax advantage available. And speaking of strategy, there's one final layer we should touch on, and that's coordinating the timing of your claim with other potential benefits, like employer-sponsored assistance programs.
Ah, yes, that delightful dilemma. We talked about the double-dipping rule, but how can someone strategize when they're juggling multiple forms of support?
It boils down to this. Don't assume anything. Sit down with your tax professional, lay out all your expenses and potential benefits, and crunch the numbers together. Sometimes it might make more financial sense to maximize your employer's assistance first, even if it means claiming a smaller amount for the adoption tax credit.
So it's about looking at the bigger picture, not just focusing on one benefit in isolation. It's about coordinating your efforts for maximum financial advantage.
Precisely. For example, let's say your employer reimburses up to $10,000 in eligible adoption expenses. You have $15,000 in qualifying costs. It might make sense to use your employer's program for the first $10,000 and then claim the remaining $5,000 for the tax credit.
So you're strategically leveraging both options. That makes so much sense. It's all starting to click into place now.
I'm glad to hear that. Ultimately, the goal is to make your adoption journey a little bit smoother, both emotionally and financially.
Couldn't agree more. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm struck by something. We've covered a lot of ground today, from eligibility and expenses to timing and strategy. But I think the biggest takeaway is this: knowledge is power.
Absolutely. The more informed you are about the adoption tax credit and all the resources that are available to you, the more empowered you'll be to navigate this process confidently and create the family of your dreams.
So true. We hope this deep dive has equipped you with the information and confidence to take on this exciting, challenging, and ultimately life-changing journey. And remember, while this guide is a great starting point, every family situation is unique. Don't hesitate to consult with adoption professionals and tax experts who can provide, personalized guidance tailored to your specific circumstances.
Beautifully said. And remember, you're not alone in this journey. Embrace the support, celebrate the milestones, and cherish the incredible moments as you welcome a new member into your family.
Beautifully said. To our listeners, thank you for joining us on this incredible deep dive. We're cheering you on every step of the way. Until next time, happy diving.